We're ready?
You can always stand up when you're a guest.
All right, good morning. It's 10 a.m. We will call to order the regularly scheduled Board of Supervisors meeting for this Tuesday, October 1st, 2013, and ask if everybody would please join the board as we honor America with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Supervisor Clinton sends his regards. He was actually here this morning, but he feels under the weather. If he feels as bad as he sounds, he really feels bad. So we encouraged him to go home this morning. So that's his absence.
I think it was more of a directive from the chair.
You guys didn't want to sit here and listen to him cough and hack the whole meeting. First item on our agenda is public comment number one. This is an opportunity for members of the public to comment on items that are on today's agenda. If anybody has anything, if it's on today's agenda, Terry, we're going to deal with you guys as we get to it. If there's anything else that anybody would like to comment on, and seeing no one moving, we'll move on to consideration of minutes.
Move approval.
And I'll second. Further discussion? Toot?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Minutes pass. Consideration of personnel actions, we have all forms listed.
Move approval.
And I'll second. Toot?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Personnel actions pass. Consent agenda, we did add utility permit 1412.
Move approval with the noted addition.
And I'll second. Toot?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Consent agenda passes. We have no public hearing items today. We do have a table. Got it. Okay. So, stepping back, because the chair erroneously missed number four, and I knew we were going to get there right away, discussion with residents regarding North Dakota and possible improvements to North Dakota. Terry, since you're the one who organized this with me, I'm going to ask that you come up first and just get us started in this discussion. We do have County Engineer Darren Moon here today, and the intent here is for us to just have a nice back and forth so that you guys can make sure we understand your position, and hopefully you can leave here understanding where the county is at this point on all of this. Terry, start by introducing yourself. Is the green light on? Okay.
Hi, I'm Terry Riley. My wife, Nancy, and I live at 3758 North Dakota Avenue. We've lived there since 1978. And our concern today is about a possible road widening project past our place. We own about 500 feet east side of the road. Our place covers about 500 feet.
No. Terry's just got one of those voices. I have the same problem myself, as you can.
Well, there you go.
That works.
Oh, boy. We live at 3758 North Dakota, and our place occupies 500 feet along the road. And across the road at 4319 North Dakota, we are one of nine owners of a farm that borders 2,000 feet. And of that, on that side, about 500 feet probably wouldn't be affected because it's along a concrete part of the road which wouldn't be widened. So anyway, at least 1,500 feet would be affected. Our concern is that if the road is to be resurfaced, is widened, it'll take arable land, and then it will end at the corner south of us. And the whole road really needs resurfaced badly. And to do that one part and then have it narrow up doesn't make a lot of sense. Not to us, anyway. And I think that's the gist of what we're concerned with, is that we'd give up not only our front yard and the neighbors, some of the neighbors would too, but farmland for a reason that is incomplete. And I think that's mostly what we're concerned about.
Terry, and I guess for the record, we should note that, Terry, you and I have visited on several occasions starting probably a year ago. Is that about right?
Maybe not quite.
Not quite a year ago.
Yeah.
And I've just encouraged Terry all the way through to make sure that the board was well informed as we went through this process, and you've done a great job of that, and I appreciate you coming in today. So now I would just ask, before I turn to County Engineer Darren Moon to give the board some kind of update on where we are, is there anybody else who'd like to add to what Terry just told the board on your feelings? Or if you feel the same way Terry does, that's good enough. Yeah, come on up. Please start by introducing yourself.
Which one of these do I need?
This one. Whichever one we hear you on, it sounds good.
My name is Joe Lynch. I've lived at 3700 Onion Creek Lane since 1979, I guess. And I've heard about this project. I regularly bicycle from my house on into Ames and know the road pretty well as a result. And my concern here is that this project is kind of avoiding the difficulties that really need to be addressed with the virtual no shoulder that exists between the railroad tracks and the curves preceding Terry Riley's house. Those really need attention. If we have a little perspective here, the road was gravel when I shortly became associated with the place, and there just haven't been, and since then there's a lot more traffic than there used to be. The road obviously serves Squaw Valley and other places to the north. It's more heavily traveled than in 1979, and no shoulders on those curves and bridges and stuff going from North Dakota down through those curves is not a small issue. And I'm concerned that we're talking about spending our money on the wrong thing here. It's not that the road doesn't need attention in front of the Rileys, but that I'm not convinced that it is more important to address the issues from the railroad tracks to the curves. How to do that is, of course, another question. That's your folks' responsibility to decide where the county spends its money. To say that the county doesn't have money, well, really is not true in my mind. You have to decide all the time where to spend our tax dollars. I freely pay my tax dollars and glad to do it. But what I'd like to see happen is a more extended conversation with county engineer and all the people that are affected from the railroad tracks down to Terry Riley's house. And we're all smart, intelligent people. We all have the concerns that the county governments meet our needs as opposed to us meeting the county engineer's needs. That's not the way it's supposed to work, seems to me. And so I'd like to see an extended conversation that has begun already, obviously, but where we sit down and look at all the details that need to be addressed here from the railroad tracks on and look at where we can compromise and best spend our county resources. I think that's a conversation that we really need to dig into further than we have. I'm not excited about, just simple political confrontations where somebody wins and somebody loses. That isn't what we should be doing here in my mind.
And hopefully that's not what you feel we're trying to do.
No, I'm not.
From my perspective, we're trying. Part of this conversation,
exactly why we're here this morning. But I'm simply wanting to suggest that we broaden out the discussion to include the road all the way to the railroad tracks because it really does need attention. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Marcia Pryor-Miller. I own the property at 4038 North Dakota Avenue. I have lived there since 1989. My concern, and I'm very glad that Terry has initiated this conversation with you, my concern is what has been for me a lack of transparency on the part of the county in informing us that something is going on. I first became aware that something was in progress about a year ago this time when my ditch was filled with flags. They looked like utility markings when I went out and I'm getting ahead of myself. This spring, the flags were still there. I had assumed by then I would have heard something. I teach at the university. I keep 12, 15-hour days. I very often come home very late at night, so I sometimes don't see what's happening in the way that I would if I were in an 8-to-5 job. By this spring, the flags were still there. I had heard nothing other than from Terry and Nancy, who said that someone had come to talk with them about the widening of the road, and that the plan that they saw included plans to tear out trees on what sounded like my property. Because of the very heavy rains this spring, I was not able to start mowing until late when it came time, long past time to mow because, and I have always maintained the ditches, even though they're county. I didn't know whether or not I could mow the ditches, and they were very overgrown. So I called the county courthouse. The person to whom I talked, and I failed to get that person's name, I asked her about the flags. She said that they were there for a county project, and I said, "What project?" "Oh, just some projects." I felt it was a very inappropriate answer because I had identified myself and where I was calling from. She said she would talk to the county supervisor or county engineer, I don't know which one, and get back to me. She did, and at that point, she still would not give me any details about what was happening. She told me that they were utility flags, and I probably am now out of sequence in that when I talked to her the first time, she said that they were utility flags, and I said, no, there were also county road flags. There were white flags in the area. Some of the flags actually came onto my property. They were not just flags that were in the ditches. In neither conversation did she give me any details about what was happening. Had Terry and Nancy not told me that they had had a conversation with some of you, I would have had no idea that the road was what was in process. Of all the homeowners on that stretch of North Dakota, I probably have the greatest concern about direct impacts. Before I lost my husband in 2007, we had put in a cement driveway. I assume that if the road is widened, that will be torn out for the widening. I'm very concerned about impacts, destruction of I know we put the concrete in over the ditch area, but it's going to have to be repaired. Am I responsible for that? I would certainly hope not. If my trees are going to be torn out, I need to know what trees are going to be torn out. We personally planted those trees and have helped them grow. I have since that time started watching the supervisor meetings. I have done some perusing, not total perusing, of minutes and agendas. I've been unable to find the indications of those. So I'm very concerned about the fact that this seems to be something that is happening. This seems to be something that is very much in process. But as a homeowner with property face or on North Dakota, I've been I know nothing about it other than what I've heard secondhand.
And let me just step in right there. I don't know that you have missed anything other than I'm really frustrated to learn that you couldn't get an answer about what the flags were. There have been no decisions made. There have been no commitments to project or anything else other than, I'm going to have our county engineer come up and take us all the way through, other than the county engineer going out and looking at what it would take to widen the road up to and including conversations about the curved area all the way down, I don't know, to the railroad tracks, but down at least to the bridge, as I recall the initial conversation. But for the last, and Darren, I'm going to ask that you really tighten this up a little bit, but for the last 9 months or so, Paul, I don't recall one conversation that's come to us regarding North Dakota.
I can only remember the initial conversation with Darren about the need for the road to be resurfaced and the difficulty that would be in resurfacing without being able to widen it. And that was our initial conversation. And as far as I know, that's the only conversation that we've had about it.
And as I recall, the only direction that we've given at all is to the county engineer, go do your planning, see what it would take, let's make sure we're keeping the residents informed, and let's just try to work through to a decision. Not a decision to widen, not a decision to a decision of some sort, but we're not even close to there, and so I'm really viewing this conversation as a big part of trying to figure out where this thing is going all the way through. It's one of the reasons I was so encouraged when Terry called me and said, hey, I want to get together the residents and the supervisors so that we can have this conversation, because I'm looking at us at step one in a 10-step process before anything gets done. So I really apologize that you didn't get any satisfaction on your phone call asking what the flags were. That's unacceptable. I wish I knew who it was you had talked to and what the circumstances were there, but I really don't want you to feel like you've missed out on this big conversation because there hasn't been one yet.
Well, the only place with any of that I would take issue is in that the reports have come in that you've talked with Terry and Nancy, you've talked with Shickles, you've talked with someone, not you personally, I'm just saying that there have been conversations with multiple homeowners on the streets, but
yeah, and let's get Darren up here so that we can figure out exactly what's going on through there. I don't mean to cut you off if you have more.
No, I think in terms of road widening, I share the concerns about widening the stretch between the S-curve and the north part of the horseshoe, not widening it onto Cameron School Road or going on down to the railroad tracks. I think it's going to create we already have a hazard on the S-curve. I think it's only going to exacerbate that if it's widened and then it stops. So some of those concerns I also share mm-hmm. the concern about. So I think there are some of the logistics of the plan that as a homeowner in that area I'm concerned about. So
thank you. Thank you for being here today. Anyone else before we have Darren come up? Darren, your turn. Darren, I'm going to set the table for you with what I recall of our conversation, and then you correct me or add to it. I recall you coming to us and talking about that this is a road in total that really, at least from the county portion, really needs to be resurfaced. The problems with doing a resurfacing without any shoulders to speak of, the problems with the curves and what you're hearing from a couple of the homeowners on the curve. I believe at that point one of the first questions I asked you was, have we ever looked at a plan to just straighten out North Dakota and take out all the S-curves? I know it involved a new bridge. I think you looked at that briefly and said, yeah, that's unworkable, and so moved on with your planning. And outside of that, I can't recall the last time we've talked about this. So I'll leave it there for you to start.
Number of different issues here, but where this whole discussion kind of ended and where the landowner concerns are is notification of them. It ended as you can go down two different roads when you buy a right-of-way for a project. First of all, you have to design something to take out to landowners to show them. We did that. That's not set in stone. You know, we decided to go out. You can either go down the road of just start contacting owners and see if you're going to have any pushback to what you're doing. And you, you're going to talk to all landowners under that situation. We didn't get very far down the road. We talked to two landowners and said, you know, we're not going to be able to do this project most likely without condemnation. So at that point, we just kind of put the brakes on the project altogether. And that's why none of the additional landowners were contacted, because in order to do the project, we were going to have to take the other step where the board would have to approve condemnation for the project up front. And then we'd have to start back from ground zero, have a public meeting. And at that point, the board was a little uncomfortable with the condemnation process, wasn't sure if you wanted to go down that route or not. So at that point, the project was essentially stopped until the board could decide if condemnation is something you wanted to do or not. And so right now, the project is pretty much off the table unless, you know, the board decides to go condemnation. And you have to make that decision up front even before we go out and talk to any landowners again.
I remember you saying something about condemnation, specifically referencing the gentleman who lives right on that northernmost curve. I think the inside of that northernmost curve, where I think in conversation you had with him, he said, I'm not agreeing to anything. But that's the only part of the condemnation that I can remember you ever bringing to us. Have you presented some kind of – is there pending action from the board? Have you – I mean, that's where I'm unclear. I hear you say that the board would have to decide.
There was two steps. That the first project included the curve and the straightaway.
Okay.
And we started talking to the landowner on the curve. That wasn't going so well, so we decided to move forward. He said, well, why don't we just see if we can get the straightaway done? So we proceeded with just the straightaway portion. And then, like I say, the first landowner we talked to on that, that wasn't going so well either. So then I did report back to the board and said, we cannot proceed with this project unless the board decides up front to start the condemnation process.
So no action by the board means we're not doing anything?
Yeah.
Okay. You got any different recollection or any questions about that?
No. What kind of condition is the road in on the straightaway?
The straightaway, the problem out there is the road has 33-foot right-of-way on each side, so 66. That's what our gravel roads have. It's unfortunate it got paved without that additional right-of-way being bought. Very few paved roads are at that 66-foot width. So what's happened is there is no shoulder out there, so the pavement's kind of sloughing off and cracking off, and it's in poor shape to the point where you can't put just an overlay on it because there's no shoulder on the outside. When you raise by doing an overlay, you have to have some shoulder out there, otherwise you just got a pavement edge, and that's a dangerous situation. Two is the funding issue. We in general can't afford to pave roads with local funds, so we rely on our farm to market fund and our federal aid. It's not a federal aid route, so we can't use federal aid funds. It is a farm to market road. But in order to spend farm-to-market money on it, you have to bring it up to the farm-to-market guidelines and standards. And that requires 6-foot shoulder, flatter 4 slopes. And what that does is push the right-of-way out. It'd be additional 17 feet on each side. Like I say, the design we originally had, it didn't take hardly any trees. I think maybe one tree out of all those homes in front. And the reason for that is you get up towards the top of a hill, you can push the ditch elevation up high enough to where you can squeeze it in tighter and still meet all the requirements of farm to market. And so very few trees were affected by that. But we didn't even get to that point where we could talk to landlords about the tree issues, because it was pretty clear we weren't going to be able to do it without condemnation. And if you do the condemnation route, like I said, you have to start square one, and then we'd hold a public meeting and bring everybody in at once and say, we've decided we'd use condemnation for this project. We feel it's important to the public, and show everybody the entire plans at that point rather than going to each individual landowner.
Okay, so without condemnation, without the Board of Supervisors deciding that we would utilize condemnation, where is this project now? I mean, are you telling me that it's all or nothing?
More or less, the only thing we could really do, you could overlay it or do it, you could mill down 2 inches or something and put 2 inches back, but you'd have to use local funds to do that. Farm to market wouldn't qualify. And
in order to go in and do it right, you're going to have to acquire additional
correct
property.
Yep, there's no way around that if we're going to use farm to market funds.
Short of that, it comes from us. The county foots the bill entirely.
Right.
Right now, as far as I understood it, we were just on hold. Nothing was going to happen. We did have $40,000 in our local budget to purchase the right-of-way. That's usually handled out of the local side of things. So that is in this current year to buy right-of-way with that $40,000. Right now, I wasn't feeling like I was going to spend that. So our budget session talks are going to start here real soon. So that's where the discussion was going to come back up. Does the board want to give me that again for next year so we could start the condemnation process? Or if we're not going to do condemnation, our only options really are just to go out and maybe put a seal coat on that road. That's not the best option because the outsides are so deformed already and cracked up. That's not very effective. But that's really...
And how much concern would you have with the addition of a housing development in that area that could possibly raise, you know...
I mean, we're already up over 1,000 vehicles a day, so adding another 100 or two isn't have a huge impact, but it's going to continue to increase out there. I think that's pretty obvious.
Well, what's the long-term solution? I mean, to me, clearly something's got to happen. Either we've got to go in and repave it with no shoulders in some way, shape, or form. Repave it with no shoulders, the steep ditches, and the big-time curves. Or we've got to have the absolute serious conversation. And I'm talking about the whole route, not just the northern portion. I'm talking about the whole route of what that's going to look like. Because, I think about, okay, on South Dakota, and as you run all the way down through Kelly and Slater, you went in and you did that project 4 or 5 years ago, or maybe it's longer than that, and put in bike lanes and did some things.
I think we purchased over 100 parcels there and did not have to use condemnation on the whole project, fortunately. So that
but you didn't have the residential area that we have right there along North Dakota and around Onion Creek Lane and some of those. But it still seems to me that long-term, especially with the Ames Urban Fringe Plan, depending on where Ames goes long-term on anything, we're just going to see more and more out there. This road is going to get in worse and worse shape. We're going to have to do something.
And try to address some of the other comments I heard. I do agree, Mr. Lynch, that first stretch north of track, something needs to be done there fairly soon also. The reason that kind of got left off is when we were putting that plan together 3 years ago, there was still major talks by the city of Ames of putting an overpass and major housing development north there. They'd annex it. That's kind of what put that on hold. I think it's pretty clear that's not going to happen anytime soon now. So that needs to come back on our radar pretty high. And again, we can use farm to market funds on that, assuming we can bring everything up to standard. So that's something I'm going to start looking into real quickly here. What right away what it would take to at least do that straightaway portion until you get into the curves. Once you get into those curves, the pavement's in a little bit better shape and a lot more environmental impacts when you go through the curves. And if we tried to put full shoulder width, and that's where we talked in our five-year program process, can we go straight through on a new route? We looked at that, and we'd be getting into one or two houses, and that just wasn't feasible. So we looked at other options, but for the short term, I think we need to fast-track that first, I don't know if the quarter mile or what that is, a straightaway just north of the tracks.
Well, what I'm going to be most comfortable with, Darren, is a comprehensive plan looking at it from the railroad tracks north, prioritizing what needs to happen first and what kind of order it needs to happen, assuming, and I think accurately assuming, that we couldn't do everything in one fell swoop. No. Correct me now. As I recall, we did the bridge or are doing the bridge?
We will be doing the bridge next year. It'll be putting a box culvert in, so we'll have plenty of shoulder there at the bridge where there is none now. And we have purchased all the right-of-way, and that project will be let soon. So that is a go for next season, construction season.
And that bridge, as I recall, you came to us and you said, hey, this thing, we've got to do something with this bridge sooner rather than later.
The load limits were the point where it would start to be hard to get our salt sand trucks over it, so we had to do something.
Okay.
The other issues were the flag issue. Echo your comments. I don't know who was talked to with that, but it's unfortunate they weren't given a little more information. Just thinking back, I'm guessing what that was. We did some tile work out there. We located all the tiles, so that those are probably just utility flags showing us where we could not dig, and that's what the flags were for. I can't think of any other reason. They weren't for our construction purposes of any kind.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry if this gets us off track. I'm just curious. I know that if somebody sticks flags, any kind of flags, on or near my property, I get curious about it. Yep. Do we have any process to let people know if we're right at their property or on their property putting down flags? Just a little simple note of here's what these are for.
Most of the time, no, because unless we're really disturbing something in that ditch, a lot of times utilities get located, you know, far beyond what we're actually looking for, so we don't actually know how far they're going to locate, so it's hard to notify everybody of what's going on. But if something major is going to be happening in their front yard, yeah, we'd be talking to them, but we were just looking at tile intakes. It wasn't a big deal.
Well, it wasn't a big deal to you or your staff. I mean, clearly to Patricia, I think. Is that right? Marcia, sorry. I did a terrible job taking notes. Clearly to Marcia, it was a big deal. And I mean, I can see that from my perspective, that it would be a big deal, especially if you take the time to call and try to figure out what's going on and can't do it. And like I say, it's hard to know. I mean, it could be that they were talking to our receptionist or one of your people. I don't know exactly where that call got routed, so it's hard to know. But I just think that's important. If somebody sees something on their property, that we have an explanation for them on why.
Yes.
So, yeah. Where do we go from here? Darren, from your perspective, where do we go from here?
Well, I was going to, like I said, bring the discussion back up again when we start our local budget talks, because it's going to take a little local money to buy the right-of-way. So we're kind of back to that discussion. The board's going to have to decide if condemnation is a possibility. You can make that decision to say, yes, let's start the condemnation process, start the public meetings, but then you can still change your mind down the road and say, we feel this is too big of an impact on certain property owners. You can back off the process once it started. You know, once you make that decision, it isn't all or nothing going for the project. But that at least starts the public hearings and gets more public input going, and I think that's what we need to do.
But to get there, from my perspective, I'm going to have a hard time even taking that step of saying, yes, I would consider condemnation, even though I wouldn't be committing to it. Yes, I would consider it until I see that full-blown, this is what we think it would look like, or this is what we want it to look like, and this are the segments we're doing. And you can start with the bridge. You can say, hey, we're doing the bridge next year. And then we would do, I don't know, the southern portion from the railroad tracks to the bridge. That would be our first priority, or whatever our first priority, and lay that out for the board and say, now, if you guys agree that this is what we need to do, here's the hurdles we've got to cross. Yeah. And it's going to take condemnation on this part and this part and this part probably to get it done. And then you let the board make a decision based on that full plan laid out. Paul, I don't know if you see that a whole lot different.
No, I think, and I'm assuming that's possible to do it that way. If we decide we're going to break it into separate pieces to work on, or are we better off doing the whole thing all at once? And that's something that that we're going to have to find out from you. But
yeah, you want to do as much as you can in one project for cost reasons. But
I see three unique issues. I mean, I see that area from the bridge south to the railroad tracks kind of as a stand. And I'm not saying you can't do them all together, but I see that as having its own unique problems, but they're going to be similar problems. I see the curved area from the railroad tracks north to that final curve for the straightaway as its own area with its own unique problems. And then the straightaway all the way out to Cameron School Road I see as its own segment. And again, I'm fine if we look at doing multiple segments, but I think, at least in my mind, this is a project that if you're going to do it, it would have four pieces, with the bridge being one of them.
Correct. And we also talked, when we figured out we weren't going to be able to do the straightaway, that if we probably, if we went down the condemnation route, we'd probably go back to our original plan and take that around that first curve ways at least. But once you get past that point and through the curves, to put a 6-foot shoulder, proper four slopes and ditch, it's nearly impossible to put that through the rest without taking homes. And the board's kind of indicated that's something you're not, that's when we start looking at another route to go down, because it'd have a major environmental impact trying to put a full blown design through those curve areas.
Well, if you've ever gotten the sense from me that it is a steep, steep climb to get me to the point that I'm willing to consider condemnation, and I'm not saying it's an impossibility, I'm just saying that's a steep climb to get me to the point that I want to tread on what I view as property rights, then that would be really, really accurate. But I think it starts, I mean, to me, there's three possible solutions here, Darren, and it all starts with doing the full-blown initial plan and saying, in an ideal world, this is what North Dakota would look like. Railroad tracks to Cameron School Road, this is what we would do, and here's what that would cost us, and here's the process we have to go through. Second possibility is you leave it, leave the road as it is, but we continue to maintain the surface as best we can, even though we can't spend farm market dollars on it. We just got to find a way to budget out of our local dollars and not do something else in the local road system. Or third, we do nothing with it, and you just let that road deteriorate. And I'm not saying that's a good option, but to me, that's the three options that you got.
And I would ask if any of the property owners have any input after what Darren has said. I mean, and really, your options are fairly limited. If the road continues to deteriorate and we're unable, I mean, if we can mill it down and put a couple inch of asphalt on it, I mean, that's simply a Band-Aid fix,
right?
At this point, and if you know, I guess if you guys are happy with that, so.
I do get a lot of comments outside of the area.
Sure.
A lot of people use that road, so that's where a lot of comments I get that say something needs to be done with this road.
Marcia, I would just ask that you come back up so you're on the mic.
I think one of the things that I've been thinking about, and I think you're right, the problems on the North Dakota stretch are huge. One of the questions that I have is, what is the process for declaring, and this may be the totally the wrong word, I've done no research on this, but what is the process for this stretch of North Dakota becoming a green belt or an environmentally protected area? Because as I understand it, that wooded area through Onion Creek is native woods. And to destroy that, I think, would be a travesty. I also understand from neighbors who live on Deer Run that the county and or city recently withdrew the protected environmental status of the Deer Run Ridge in order to open that for development. As homeowners, we were not advised of that. The homeowner that I've talked to who lives on Deer Run says that when he asked about it, they were told that if you didn't live within a quarter mile of something, you didn't receive notice. And I'm going, but those of us who bought out in this area bought in this area because we wanted to be in a more rural environment. I have absolutely no desire. I would fight to the nth degree condemnation. I mean, when you use that word, my whole being goes, wait a minute, this is wrong. I guess in terms of solution, we are, what, a mile from County Line Road in... What there's maybe I don't know the exact dimensions, but to the west of the what we would call Old Man Riley's land, the Riley land. There. Sorry, I'm a farm girl, and we tend to use those kinds of definitions. The west of that, there is a it, unless I'm wrong, there's a straight strip that could go from Cameron School Road all the way to what's the road that's immediately south of where the
gravel road?
Yeah, it's the gravel road that you come up from the railroad, and then there's the gravel road that goes west all the way to County Line Road, and then you immediately go into the curves and the so between Cameron School Road and that gravel road is flat land. So I don't know who owns that land. I do know that a lot of it is up for auction right now. It seems to me that it would make sense to look at a straight road between Cameron School Road and that gravel road. Maybe it could even go all the way over to Ontario. I don't know. I'm not a road builder, but there would be no homes affected. There would be no, and you could make a road as wide as you needed, depending on who was willing to sell that land. It seems to me the stretch from the railroad tracks to Cameron School Road of North Dakota is a different kind of area than South Dakota. And so I would argue for taking it out of I think the road needs to be maintained, but it needs to be maintained as a street, not as a potential four-lane highway that continues the North Dakota-South Dakota extension. And there are many communities where that kind of thing happens. So it just seems to me we need to say this becomes a street, and the road, the thoroughfare, needs to move on west.
Yeah, Marcia, I think that's a great point. I think that is exactly what that concept was, what I mentioned to Darren when I talked about the possibility of straightening it out, and I'm talking about now North Dakota, straightening out North Dakota and taking the curved out, and then that would become its own little road. What I don't think anybody's considered yet that I'm hearing you mention now is the possibility of, as I visualize it, come across the railroad tracks going north on North Dakota, and there would be an immediate curve to the west.
Yes.
Out onto that ground and then straight north all the way to Cameron Square. I don't know if that's a possibility or what, but I think
either.
It's something we haven't even considered yet, and I think it's at least worth taking a look at something like that, as maybe it gives us another option to go down. Because, Marshall, what I'll say is I have the same visceral reaction to the word condemnation that I think you do, and I recognize the reality that, and I'll just be as blunt as I can be, yes, you bought in a rural setting. The reality of rural settings is they're not rural in perpetuity. I live in Northridge in Ames, and if you go back 35 years, Northridge and Ames, that was a
right.
farm. It was a really rural setting. That happens. I'm not convinced it always has to happen. I'm not saying it does happen. I do recognize the realities of growth and that sometimes those things happen.
I do as well, but I also think that the people who live in this North Dakota area will fight back to make that, whatever development happens, that it not become cookie-cutter mansions like what have been built in Northridge. If that is going to be developed, then let's look at larger acreage areas so that the people who buy and build in that area are, I mean, I have 3 acres, Riley's have 5. Let's look at larger plot areas.
As long as it's in the county does not do what is Northridge or Northridge Heights. The county does, you know, development in the county is more like Hickory Hill.
Right.
Or something along those
right.
lines.
Is an acre. The lots have to be at least an acre in size.
Yes. And that, I think, would be more palatable. But we already know that the land has been bought on the east side of Squaw Creek, and there's talk about building an old folks' home or something in that area. I mean, the talk...
But I think that's gone away now.
Yeah, I think that's kind
of... There absolutely was talk about that, but I think that's gone now.
But those are all parts of what we're trying to process as we think about what this plan is.
I do want to go back to this thing that you mentioned on the conservation, I guess a conservation easement. Darren, do you know any? I haven't heard anything about that.
I am not familiar. I believe the landowner may have had some areas put in wooded designation probably for tax purposes and stuff back there. But as far as the county's concerned.
Do you know anything about any of that? No, our planning and development director's in the back, and she's shaking her head no that she hasn't.
Yeah, so, I don't believe Marshall, what I think I would ask you on that one is that's nothing that the county has done.
It may
what
have
you're
been a
about.
City action.
Could, I would I really no like idea. To know. If you could ask your neighbor for any specifics at all, I'd really like to know what's going on in there, because that is county. That I mean, well, that's right where the county butts up to the city. I'd really like to know if there's anything going on in there.
I know that he was so discouraged that he refused to come this morning. He said, I went to that meeting. We were overrun. We were not given notice. We were not allowed to have a voice. The decision was made without our say in it. And I know he knew about this meeting, and I thought he might come, but he's not here. So
yeah, I'd like to know more, because that's not us. Yeah. Whatever it was that happened with him, that's not us.
But I would really like to see you look at some creative options. I think our part of North Dakota needs to be treated, and this may not be your terminology, but if you understand what I'm trying to say, I think our part of the street, our part of North Dakota needs to be treated as a street with the thoroughfare someplace else, rather than I've mentally played with this. How do you straighten it out and make it a thoroughfare? And I think the things you've run into are exactly the things that I run into. I don't see a way to do it without tearing out houses and natural woods. And I think it would be a shame.
And I think you're right. I think, you know, one of our first looks was the possibility of changing the existing North Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
What you've brought up here, and we may take a look at this and find out it's completely unworkable quick.
I understand
but
that.
What you've brought up here is an entirely new stretch, which is, I think, a little different, Darren. I know it's different than anything I've considered.
Yeah, and usually new corridors are almost off the table of the county, because that means total local funding.
Right. But we're talking about local funding on this anyway, unless we go down the road of bringing this up to farm-to-market standards.
Yeah, but it's worth looking at. We'll look at it, but it'd be just funding-wise, it'd have to come from local funds only, and where that would come from, I don't know.
but I think County Line Road is close enough. Those of us who live on North Dakota, I mean, I very often go over to County Line Road if I want to go to Boone or if I want to go north. It's no big deal. I mean, it's no more than going over to George Washington Carver. So it's a matter of where do you go to pick up the main road to get wherever else you want to go.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Anybody else? Yes, sir. No, please come up, just because we record this and put it up, and we got to record you for all posterity.
All right. Thank you. My name is Tom Thiel, and we've been out there for about 33 years. We're back from the road. We're back a good half mile. There are two lanes. We're the gravel lane.
Yeah.
The one thing I've noticed lately, and I think the strip from the north curve all the way to the north end must be pretty good, because when I go out and get the mail, I walk out there and I'm taking my life in my own hands. It's a racetrack. And I know I'm talking to the wrong people here, but I mean, I should be talking to the sheriff perhaps. I don't know why. I mean, their cars between about 11:30 and 1 o'clock, it's pretty darn fast.
What's our speed limit along that stretch, Darren?
Well, it varies. When you get close to the curve, it drops down to 35.
Straight away is 55, though.
I believe so.
Yeah, I'm sure that it is. They're way over that, but I just stop right there. I just want you to maybe pass it on to the...
Yes, sir. Thank you.
And that kind of...
I don't want to get my neighbors in trouble with it. My car won't go that fast, but
the motorcycle roadway. And people start picking up at the north end of the curve, and they
the
curve.
Yeah.
I didn't think you were calling Old Man Riley a speed demon.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Terry, you started us. You want to close us out? If we're missing anything, if there's any part of this conversation that we're not having, the biggest thing I want to do with you guys is let you know that you are in on the ground floor of this conversation. I mean, it's a conversation we've got to have. Clearly, something's got to happen. We just got to work our way through it.
Well, I would just add, I think that the whole road should be looked at, not just the straightaway.
Mm-hmm.
There's been two fatalities in previous years, one at the curve and one further south by the ravine, I believe. I'm not sure, but a girl drove off the road. So from a safety standpoint, I can't see paving or widening the straightaway and not doing anything in the curves. If anything, it increases the danger. My brothers and I have talked about this, and we think that the whole thing needs to be looked at.
Well, and I think what you guys should all feel secure with, and Paul, you stop me if I'm wrong, or Darren, if you're hearing something different than this, you stop me. What you guys should feel secure in is we've asked now the county engineer to go back and put together a plan that looks at the entire stretch, and I've got four possibilities that I see. One is redoing the entire North Dakota railroad tracks north, including the widening, which would mean the extra 17 feet of right-of-way on either side. Not doing anything, which I think is a terrible solution and an unworkable solution. Going in and just resurfacing the road as it is and just trying to keep the pavement in as good a shape as we can and continue to utilize as we utilize it. Or now the fourth, I'll call the Marsha option, of looking at an entirely new, I'm not suggesting a name of the road, by the way, looking at an entirely new place for the road and having full access and taking this down to a secondary street. Those are the four options that I think we're laying out in front of you, and I don't think you guys should expect any rapid move. The only thing you're going to see in the foreseeable future out there is this bridge work, and then we're going to try to get through what these plans look like. But the part I would underline there is you guys will be involved every step of the way. Don't think that this board is going to make decisions without getting – well, we can't. First of all, if we decide to go down the full-blown route, we got to go public – legally, we got to go public meeting. But even more than that, that's the way this board operates. That's the way the three of us try to work. And I apologize. You know, so often in life we hear about something and we think it's eight steps beyond where it really is. This is really at the beginning stage. Darren, anything to add to that?
Nope. I just want to comment a little bit more about the challenge in the curves. I didn't get into real detail on that. The reason why that would be so difficult is because not only do you have to add the shoulder width, but you have to bring that curve up to current standard, which flattens it way out, which means you're definitely going through all kinds of houses on the inside of the curves. So that's why that would be such a challenge. I'll lay that out, all those options out for you, like you said, and show you what the real impact would be. But it'd be very difficult once you get in the curve. So that's why we were kind of looking at the straightaways in that first curve to do what we could do.
And I want to say this with all of you guys here as well. Story County is really, really lucky to have an engineer like Darren Moon. He gets a lot of lumps. I mean, you know, everybody drives the roads every day, and the people that live on gravel roads, you know, there's always a rut here or always something going on there. And it's never just quite where people think it needs to be. So Darren, probably more than any of our staff members, gets a lot of lumps from the public. I'm going to tell you right now, We've looked pretty closely at this, the way things are in other counties. We're really fortunate to have Darren Moon as our county engineer. And if you compare Story County roads, and I'm talking about the roads that the county is responsible for, to roads in any other county, in total I'm talking about, we're as good as there is anywhere. So, Darren, I always feel bad when you get to come in and get beat up at some of these. We appreciate you being here, and we appreciate your guidance for the board as we work our way through these things. Paul, anything?
No.
Okay. If there's nothing else from you guys, thank you for coming in this morning. Really appreciate you being here. And just if you have questions, Terry seems to be a pretty good spokesman. Terry, just give me a call anytime, and I'll be glad to come out and visit with you, and we'll do what we do. Thanks.
Thank you.
All right, now we can get back on the agenda since I skipped over that one. We have no public hearing items. We do have one tabled item that is, unless we bring it off the table, we just won't do anything with it. Okay, moving on. Additional items. Consideration of Resolution 1429 setting a public hearing for October 15, 2013 for first consideration of Ordinance Number 223 amending Chapter 8 Urban Renewal of Story County Code of Ordinances. And this is Leanne. And the one note I would make is the resolution that I have in front of me is just a little different from what was in the packet. There was a clerical typo in it, and so we've got that corrected.
Just as the agenda item states, this is setting the official public hearing for first consideration of Ordinance Number 223 for October 15th, following the process set out in the Code of Ordinances. Now, answering questions.
This keeps us on our timeline.
I don't have any questions. I would move approval of Ordinance 223.
And I'll second it.
Not the ordinance, the
resolution.
1429.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then that will be to talk about Ordinance 223. All right. And I'll second the motion to approve 1429. Further discussion. Leanne, anything to add?
Nope.
Toot. Sanders, aye. It passes. Departmental reports, and it looks like we are going to skip Sue McCaskey today. I'm looking forward to seeing Sue. Tell Sue I'm looking forward to seeing Sue.
Did she know she was going to be up today?
She
I know I saw her out
I
in
saw
the
her there, yeah. Yeah.
No, it's all right. It's all right.
Oh,
it,
yeah.
We'll get her next time. Margaret.
I like Sue's presentations.
I do too.
They're fun. Yeah, I like animal stories. Let's see if I
Well, that was a good conversation. I think it's always interesting how the initial reaction from a lot of people is.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my God, you put a flag in the ground, you're going to do this, and trying to work through that.
Hey, good morning.
Hi.
My last presentation, I think I just handed it in because we had such a long agenda. We just kind of
we've been doing that
over
a lot
that.
Lately.
So if it feels like it's been a long time since I've been up here, it kind of has been. So I'll start with the septic numbers. Time of transfer inspections, 60 of them, and this is since January 1st. New septic permits, 40. Repair, so that's just the box and or the tank, 13. Binding agreements, that's when people sell their houses and need to postpone some action, 6 outstanding, and 7 outstanding notice of violations, some of them being several years.
Margaret, is this consistent with previous year numbers? Is it up, down, any gut feel?
It's a little up from last year, up a lot from 2011. So okay. I think the economy is affecting these numbers. Just to show you some of the issues that we come up with, once in a while folks want to do 2 properties on 1 septic system, and it kind of feels like it's not a good idea, and this is one example of it not being a good idea. The house to the north wants to add a bedroom, which would result in increasing the septic size, and as it turns out, that septic was big enough just to get that increased water load in, but then it would prevent the other guy from ever adding on. And so who's allowed to add on first and things like that, you know. So I suggested that they get a written agreement between the property owners, who's going to take care of improvements or repairs, things like that. A lot of them go into this thinking it's a great idea, and it just really isn't. It just causes so many issues on down the road. An example of when it is a good idea is if you get large subdivisions, South Squaw Valley, for example, on a package plant, that's when it is a good thing to do. But on these rural settings, not so much. On well numbers, we've had 45 wells, that's 11, and then 34 geothermals. Well plugging, we've done 19 so far this year, 72 water tests, and time of transfer inspections, 29. Let's see, there's a well in Franklin Township that we're just pouring a lot of hours in on. They keep coming back with counts around 200, and it is their sole water source. There is a possibility for them to hook up to rural water, but they would like to stick with their well water. But those are really high bacteria counts. For the lead inspection program, still working with Homeward on these. They do the medical, we do the environmental. There's 8 open environmental cases. This past time I did a follow-up site visit for an old case, but they are continuing to chip away on, that's a funny word to use, getting the job done. So only one house with children residing, and they are not cooperating. Not sure how to handle that.
Is civil attorney well informed on all of these, especially the one with children residing?
This one she and I have not worked on. I can bring it to her attention.
Just make sure that she's up to speed on this.
Yes. Let's see. So the pool tattoo tanning program, staff visited all but one tattoo facility. He's just not available. Letters are being
sent.
Are
you picking up any new tattoos?
Me, personally? Zero. Okay. I'm not into that. That's Matt's job. Let's see. So, and then letters are being sent down to the tanning facilities, just letting them know that, you know, they're on our radar. Pool activity has diminished with the closing of the outdoor pools, which is kind of nice. And a meeting has been set up with Keith with Ames Parks and Rec, and where we're going to just, during the slow season, learn their pool pump houses and facilities so that we're ready to hit the ground running come Memorial Day weekend.
Just so Rick knows, you're aware that we took over the inspections.
Yep.
But Hardin County had done the annual inspections just shortly before turning everything over to us.
And gobbled up the money, yeah.
Margaret's department hasn't actually had to, other than some problems in Ames with bacteria,
and
they
crypto.
Haven't actually had to go out and do the physical inspections because those were already done before it was turned over.
That's correct. Yep. One thing that kept us quite busy this summer is cryptosporidium in the pools. We had 12 cases in Story County. That's really high. And at first we started, it was just like a panic working on these. And then we became jaded pretty fast. We got, you know, the routine down on how to look through the records and closing down pools, things like that. We are going to, so let's see, so the problems that we ran into is that there's usually vague information from IDPH regarding when they swam, onset of symptoms, things like that, because it really, those things really matter when it comes down to should you or should you not close a pool down. So we're going to meet with IDPH later this year with other counties and determine how we can better communicate to get those numbers down so we can get those inspections done right after they get that information. Let's see. All the crypto reportings were on outdoor pools except for one. So one indoor pool in Ames had a crypto report. The Homeward does get us information a lot faster than IDPH. And, again, we'll be meeting with IDPH to discuss these possible changes. And then as an update from IDPH, there have been 1,015 cases of crypto in Iowa compared to 328 reported in 2012. So huge increase. I don't think they know why. Anyone knows why. I've heard some people say that they kind of, it kind of comes in waves, you know. Who knows why? It has decreased since peak midsummer, but still high compared to last year. And, you know, recreational water sports is the main way you pick up this parasite. They are very, very contagious. It only takes a few cysts to make a person sick. and they're highly chlorine resistant. So pool's doing an excellent job of always keeping their chlorine levels exactly where they need to be, can still have a crypto problem. So it's something that public health really needs to do some more research on and focus. The one thing I did have Ames do is increase their signage for showers, hand washing, diaper changing, no swimming if you have diarrhea, things like that. Public awareness is really what we have to focus on at this point. Complaints, bed bugs in a very new apartment complex in Ames, very unfortunate. Mold in a Nevada apartment, mold in Ames apartment, and then our ever recurring Crestview complaints. I'll just leave it at that. Trainings, we all did the web EOC training with Melissa. And I went to the NEHA conference, and I got my picture in the national magazine standing there. That was kind of fun. Kathy went to a well workshop in Boone County, and Matt attended the ESRI conference. That's the GIS stuff. Animal feeding operations, as you...
Have we done with any of these?
No, I can't remember. It's been so long. Right. Yeah. So, yes, as you well know, we did the Master Matrix review for Lincoln Feeders. We've received, this is since January 1, 21 manure management plan updates. Let's see, Rick and Jessica and I attended a meeting with DNR Field Office 5 just to kind of discuss the county's role in permitting and feeding operations, things like that. And then finally on this, I received, after the Lincoln Feeders Master Matrix review, I received an email from DNR recognizing the county's thoroughness, but they offered an example of another county's method of, I don't know if you can really see that, but they send this little piece of paper that says approved, and they agree with the grade. And, you know, I disagree with this approach. I think DNR needs to be brought through the trenches like we are. They need to know the issues out there. It's not just a number. People need to be heard, and I believe that the master matrix is the only way to do it. So I am not planning on making their life easy.
Let me make sure I'm understanding what you're saying here. So DNR said, boy, really appreciate Story County sending us all this information and making sure the residents had a chance to speak and notifying DNR. But next time, how about just sending us this one-page check sheet?
Yes. He said he's not making recommendations, but I would just like to show you an example of what makes it really easy for us. That is not my job, is to make their job easy. You know, and guess what? I've never run into more complicated regulations with confinement issues.
Thank DNR for us and let them know we're going to keep doing things exactly the way we do it.
Amen. Amen. It's just, I was insulted by that. You know, people need a voice in this, and if we reduce it to a one-page check sheet, why bother?
If the state wants to take the county out of it, take the county out of it. But if you're going to put us in and have us have a role,
don't tell us how to do it.
That's right. We're going to take our role seriously. All right. Sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was a little hot under the collar with this one.
That just makes me... Okay.
And then this is my final thought I need to talk about is zoning application review policy. We are going to be talking about this at the Board of Health today. This is a big change from what we are currently doing right now. Currently, as those applications come in, for the new ones, of course, they need septic system review. For the ones with bedrooms added, yes, they need a septic system review because systems are sized on soil and number of bedrooms, okay? So we're already doing that, so we're catching those. The other ones that we're not looking at, or we're only looking at them for location purposes. So if somebody wants to put in an addition that does not have a bedroom, we look to make sure that addition is not being put on top of the septic system, but we do not require them to show that they do indeed have a septic system. What I am proposing is a review of all zoning applications that come in. And if there's a documented septic system, fine, they're good to go. If there is no documented system, so in other words, those houses before 1972, they have to show us that they have a working system, very similar to a time of transfer type of inspection. This would add about 100 additional applications for us to review, and maybe 25%, 30% might need new septic systems till we kind of catch them all. A lot of these are the old farmhouses.
And this goes to Board of Health, your meeting
today. Mm-hmm. Okay. And what I learned today, sitting at today's meeting, was to have a public hearing on this, because this will impact a lot of people. So I think...
I think any time there's a question, we need to go down the road of a full public hearing. It's just,
okay.
I think it's the right thing to do. So I would encourage that.
I agree. So if you have any input on this now, if you think this is a really bad idea, I guess I need to hear that now.
Well, I'd like you to present it to Board of Health and then let Paul report back to the board on
okay.
where the Board of Health is.
Okay.
Thank you. Jessica, I saw that you just walked in. I asked that Margaret visit with you about a couple of the lead cases that she has pending, so just be aware.
Well,
that
yeah, I've sorry. Asked for that. Well, an old new one. Yes.
All right, Margaret, thank you.
Thank you.
No other reports, liaison assignments, and committee meeting updates. Feels a little lonely in here without Wayne.
I know. I feel like I should say something, but.
Pass. Public forum 2. Opportunity for members of the public to comment on items not on this agenda. Board may not take action on their comments due to the requirements of the open meetings law, but we may do so in the future. Seeing no one moving, any announcements?
No.
None from me. We do have an item 17 today, closed session. Jessica, it feels like it's been 3 weeks since we've done one of these.
I think it has been. Pursuant to Iowa Code Section 21.5, sub 1, sub C, the Story County Attorney's Office respectfully requests that the board vote to go into closed session to discuss strategy with legal counsel in matters that are presently in litigation or where litigation is imminent, where its disclosure would likely prejudice or disadvantage Story County, Iowa in said litigation.
I would move we go into closed session.
Second. Discussion. Toot.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. We will go into closed session. We'll take a 5-minute recess and then come back.
Okay, ready?
Yep, ready. All right. We'll bring us back into open session and ask that Jessica Reynolds establish our record as we come out of closed session.
It is 11:22 a.m., and we are back in open session. The Story County Attorney's Office respectfully requests authority to enter into a settlement and to enter into settlement negotiations with Nationwide Insurance, and also is requesting permission to sell the totaled county vehicle for no less than $7,750 and enter into negotiations regarding the vehicle.
I would make that motion.
Second. Further discussion. Please pass along our regards to car auctioneer, County Attorney Holmes. Toot.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. So directed.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other business for the board today? If not, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
Move for adjournment.
Second. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
We're adjourned.